This program is brought to you by BibleWayMedia.org, overseen by the Ooligah Church of Christ in Ooligah, Oklahoma. Hello again. I'd like to welcome you back to Uncensored Dads and the Uncensored Word. With me, as always, is Brother Matthew Olson from the Chip Monroe Congregation there in Lee Summit, Missouri, and myself, Russ Earl, from the Ooligah Church of Christ here in Ooligah, Oklahoma. We thank you for joining us today. Our focus is going to be 1 Samuel chapter 2, beginning about verse 12, looking at a section which we commonly refer to as the Wicked Sons of Eli. It's what's being dealt with here. And, you know, as parents, we were talking, you know, we understand this is being uncensored dads, but this applies to our mothers too, and those who may be raising children. You know, sometimes we know that grandparents are raising children as well, maybe raising up grandparents or raising up their grandchildren for various reasons. But there's a lot of things that we can learn from this section of concerning Eli and his sons. And it's really sad that it's not uncommon in the Bible. We find great people of faith who have very unfaithful children. You know, David was an incredible man, yet Solomon, who came after him, had some concerns, obviously. And Eli here in 1 Samuel 2 is not any different. You notice in 1 Samuel 2, as we begin this section looking at Eli's sons, it begins first by saying that Eli was very old, and he had heard everything his sons did to Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Now, it's interesting, the first thing that you get into here is first we're talking about how old Eli is, which really doesn't address, that shouldn't hinder him chastising his sons. You know, as we get older, even when we move out of our homes, we should always be those who can at least consider the advice and the guidance of our parents. Not to say that we are still, you know, we're not under their roof anymore, but we're still wise enough to listen to their guidance. And we find that principle throughout the Bible. But you notice, though, it begins in verse 22 with a very severe sin. First of all, you notice that it implies very clearly, as we continue to go through this section, you'll see that this is the case, that Eli's sons were causing people to sin. As we find here, specifically, it's mentioned the things that his sons did to all of Israel. And then in addition to that, he mentioned specifically in how they lay, that is to have sexual actions with those women who assembled at the door, you know, notice, of the tabernacle of meeting. These guys were doing some very evil, evil things. And Eli was a man of God who did great things. But he was having some trouble with his sons, no doubt here. And it's sad to read about such great people of faith having issues with their children. And we should understand that we cannot force our children to be faithful to God. We can show them the truth. We can guide them to the very best of our ability to that. But, you know, no one, no matter how bad we'd like to make them obey, will do so unless they decide to do so themselves. But here, these are men who are serving for God. And so it's implied very clearly they are supposedly followers of God, but they have obviously deviated, because we find in verse 22 here the evil things that they have been doing. But also notice here that Eli had heard about it. It's not that he has seen it firsthand, at least not yet, but he's hearing about it, which means it's public knowledge. And so we're going to stop there for just a moment. I'm going to let Brother Matt add anything like as we continue looking at Eli and his wicked sons here in 1 Samuel chapter 2.
Yeah, we're talking about Eli here, and I mean, he is a father. You know, what does it state in the Bible that fathers are to be the ones who are head of household, right, to teach? And I mean, like in our family, like I go to work and Rochelle stays home with our kiddos and teaches them and, you know, brings them up in the admonition of the Lord when I'm not home or whatever. But Eli knew all about this. Eli knew all about his sins. I mean, take for instance, like you said, verse 22. He was very old and heard everything his sons did to Israel and how they lay with women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle. So they're committing fornication, adultery probably. I mean, if so, well, not adultery. Well, would it be adultery? Yeah, I guess it would. Basically, you know, fornication and, I mean, and he knew about this. It's like, you know, it doesn't matter how old your kids are. it doesn't matter how old anybody is. If you know they're doing wrong, like if I come to you, Russ, and I find something wrong with you, I won't, because you're perfect, you know. But you know, if I find a fault in you, I mean, me being a good brother would be like, hey man, you know, I don't think this and this and this, you know, get out my list of stuff for you, but let's talk about it. Let's communicate and let's see how to resolve it. Eli was just like, you know, towards the end he came, oh, okay, hey guys, you guys are doing that, but they didn't want to come to repentance, you know, and their sin demanded it. Demanded a repentance, but they weren't willing to. They were like, nah, we're good, you know. And they were priests, because I think Eli was the chief priest, right? And me being a father, I just look at him and I go, man, you should have stood up. Just stand up to him. But it's kind of like nowadays how it's kind of like fathers are. And I understand in television shows how dads are kind of mainly the stupid ones, or, you know, and it's kind of like a woman-based society now. But I think with Eli, he should have stood up and said, hey, man, you guys are wrong. You're wrong. Be a father. Stand up and be a dad. That's what I think.
You know, and you pointed out something very good there, and that influences so many today, is how fathers are viewed today. You know, it's women, we understand, have tried over the years to, and for good reason, to further their own rights as individuals and citizens of a nation, which I haven't had no problem with that until we go beyond the Word of God. But and what we see today is that being played out in television, where, like Matt was saying, there where fathers are portrayed as the moron, as an idiot, as someone who's almost like he's helpless, and everyone makes fun of him behind his back or even to his face. You know, and we have to remember, and I've said this before in a sermon before, that even if a father has his struggles, just like any human being does, we have to remember that any human being does, he is still, as the Bible says, is the head of the home. That does not change. And so we think about, you know, the duties of fathers and mothers, and it's not what we see on television. We shouldn't be looking to television to see how we should be guiding our home, because there's one thing that we know is that Hollywood knows very little about families. Disney knows very little about families. Even some of these other things we see, that it's portrayed in such a way that, and it's, you have to remember, those things are designed to attract an audience. And so whatever's going to attract an audience is what's going to be portrayed there. Well, we know, just like Matt was mentioning there in Ephesians chapter 6, how Paul tells those there, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, Ephesians 6 and verse 2. Well, Eli's sons were not doing that. You know, you can't honor your parents while being in rebellion to them. And that's what they were doing. That's what Eli's sons were doing. You know, we hear people say sometimes that, you know, well, they weren't raised this way, and yet they're acting out. And that may be the case, but we also have to correct them. You know, Eli's sons, I'm sure, were not raised that way to defile, you know, the tabernacle of meeting and do all these evil things they were doing. As we find in verse 23, they're even altering the way in which sacrifices were to be prepared. You have even some intimidation there in verses 13 through 16 of 2 Samuel chapter 12, where they were using intimidation concerning the sacrifices that were being offered. And if you go back here, and I started out further along than I wanted to, but you go back to verse 12, it says, the Bible says, now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. The Bible says, and the priest custom of the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook, and goes on to talk about the different things they would do. But in verse 16, it says, and if the man said to him, talking about Eli's sons, that they should really burn the fat first, you may take as much of your heart desires, then he would answer them, no, but you must give it now, and if not, I will take it by force. Therefore, verse 17, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. And so this is just a glimpse into some of the evil things they were doing. Then we pick back up in verse 22, we see what's happening. Well, his sons were doing evil things, just like Matt was talking about here. And we don't, you only read it, we can only know we don't know as much as the Bible reveals to us. And all we find as we continue to go through here is things like, say it isn't so, my sons, or do not do these things. You don't find just a whole lot of correction going on other than Eli just mourning over it. You know, actions have to take place. Even if Eli is old and feeble, he could tell someone, hey, you go pull them out of that position they're in. They cannot be there. If they complain about it, you tell them to come and talk to me because what they're doing is wrong. Those are some steps that could have been taken. But we don't seem to read about that yet. Not in this chapter, anyway.
It's kind of like they were bullies, man. That's basically what they were. They were just two bullies who were just happened to be priests, and they thought, you know, we'll get the best of the best. We'll do what we want. You know, who's this God? I mean, we can do whatever we want. We're priests. People come to us and give us offerings. Well, hey, we don't have to burn the fat. We don't have to burn the fat off. We'll take it as we want to. And that's pretty sad. But take, for instance, that's how our society is nowadays. We say, we don't know. Who cares about God? You know, we got homosexuality. We got tons of things going on that are against God, you know, murder and all abortion. I mean, but it's a societal thing. It's kind of like when we just gloss over it, basically. You know, some people just go, oh, well, it's just a thing, you know. And yeah. I just don't understand how they got to be priests and then Eli just like glosses over it, kind of like, and I'm saying as a parent too, sometimes you gloss over things. You do, because maybe you're sick of hearing about something and you're just like, you take care of it and then it keeps going on and on and you deal with it, but you still have to deal with the problem, you know, and the issues ahead. And I think Eli was just, whatever, you know, hey, yep, boys will be boys, you know, kind of.
Right.
You know, and that's not the way we need to be at all.
You know, that's one of the problems we run into with people today is, you know, hear people say things like, well, they're just sowing their wild oats. And I think about that when I read about that last phrase, how they lay with the women who says they lay with the women who are somewhat at the door of the tabernacle meeting. And I've heard other faithful preachers talk about some of their elders at their location would say things like, well, they're just sowing their wild oats because they would say that because they're talking about their grandsons. You know, in all reality, we'd realize that We understand parenting is not the easiest task in the world. There's no doubt about it. But we also understand that we have to address things. You know, there's some things a child whining, complaining about something. Sometimes we just kind of, after a while, like Matt was saying, you just whatever, move on. They're going to complain about it, whatever. But you know, there's a difference between that and dealing with sin. You know, sin always has to be addressed. And with Eli and his sons, it seems like it's almost too little too late. You know, it's like we go back in the Bible. The Bible teaches very clearly that we should teach our children the ways of God when they're young. In fact, if we go back and look here, Ephesians 6 and verse 4 says, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, bring them up means you bring them up from the time they're a child, up until, you know, adulthood and leave your home. You do your best to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that word, it's an interesting word there. That word admonition in Ephesians 6, verse 4, literally means encouragement. So you bring them up in the nurture and in the encouragement of the Lord. And when I think about that, I think about how there's no better way to encourage your children than to encourage them to follow God's word. Because when you follow God's word, you should be encouraged to know that what you're doing is right and what you're doing is acceptable to God. And so that should be the most pleasing thing, the most encouraging thing to do. And of course, when you're following God, we should naturally understand we should be pleasing to our parents as well.
Exactly. Well, Proverbs 22:6, we all know that one. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, you know. That's a good. But the one good thing about reading this scripture here is, what's a good thing that comes out of it is Samuel. You know, I mean, it's like intertwined in there. It's kind of like you got the bad sons over here, and then you got this great prophet Samuel that's coming, you know, from Hannah and Elkanah, I think his name is. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but, you know, it's kind of like a, it's kind of like an opposite type of thing. It's like you got the priests that are faltering, and then you got Samuel coming up and becoming one of the great prophets. You know, it's just I don't know what you call that. I don't know.
Providence, perhaps. Or, yeah. Well, you know, if you look in the same chapter, 1 Samuel 2, verse 34, when we get down towards the end, it talks about Hophni and Phinehas, or Hophni and Phinehas, which are the two wicked sons of Eli, and how they both die in one day. And if you continue reading there, it says in verse 35, then I'll raise up for myself a faithful priest, which is a reference to Samuel. And so they're going to be taken out of the way. You know, evil has a time limit. It's kind of like kind of thinking about leaders today. In most offices, they have a term limit. They should have them, all of them, but anyway, they have term limits. And I think sometimes we have to realize there's probably a lot of good in that, because it limits the influence of individuals over us. And with Eli and his wicked sons, their influence was going to be limited. God put a term limit on that. And if you go back and look at verse 22, and you see here how his sons had done great evil against, you know, the people of Israel. In verse 17, it says, therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. And the word abhorred there means despised or blasphemed. And I think it's really that idea of blaspheme there. It probably fits it more accurately in the context, because they're altering their way in which they offer up the sacrifice to God. And so in that way, they are blaspheming or going against God in that way. And when we drop down to verse 22 and following, we pick up reading verse 23. It says, Eli finally speaks here, and it says, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. You imagine being a father or a parent in general and hearing about the wicked deeds of your children from other people. You know, Eli, you know, he's an old man, because that's what the Bible says. We can call him an old man because it says he was old, right? Can you imagine how he must have felt? I mean, he was not a perfect person either. But yeah. to hear about others talking about the evil things your kids are doing, you understand his heart was breaking, which is why I think later when his sons die and he hears about it, that he literally falls back and dies as well. As Strong points out there, when he hears the news of his kid's death, that he dies as well. But to hear about the evil dealings, so when we hear other people talking about our kids, that's not what you want to hear.
No.
You know, he hears the opposite of what we want to hear.
Yep. You want to hear good things that other people are saying about your children. You know, you don't want to hear, hey, you know, your kid is doing this, or your... Every time your kid does bad, what do? You're like, what? You know, just like when our kids were little and they did something in Bible class that they weren't supposed to, or didn't really listen or kept talking. It's like, no, that's not what we do. But you want to hear good things that come from your children. I mean, these guys were wicked, man. I mean, and for us, it should be an example of how not to be. I think them just... They were just bullies, basically, and just kind of taking what they want and just thought, you know, hey, I'm a priest, you know. They probably thought to themselves, we'll give sacrifices later for all this, you know. Kind of like how some people think today. You know, we'll go do these things, and then tomorrow's a new day, and maybe we'll repent. You know, you should be living a godly life daily and come to repentance daily on the sins you know you've committed, and the ones that you maybe don't know you've committed, you know, come to repentance every day.
And you think about, you know, the influence that Eli had on his sons, and we talked about this a little bit earlier. You go back to Genesis with Jacob and his sons, and one of them, of course, being Joseph. Well, Joseph's brothers were the same guys we know that sold him into slavery. Mm-hmm. And so he had a little bit, you know, something in common with Eli. He wasn't a father at this point, but his own brothers sold him out, and who later, it's interesting, the process of time, Joseph would have to actually bail out, so to speak, his brothers and his father during that severe famine. And so, you know, we see numerous examples of children who make some pretty big mistakes. It's not like they made a slip up here or a slip up there, but selling your brother into slavery and pretending as if, making it appear as if he's been murdered by some wild beast. Remember, that's what they did. And here we fast forward all the way up to Eli's time. Here it is. He's hearing things about his sons who are having relations with people at the gate of the tabernacle meeting, and they're causing Israel to sin, and he's hearing about it from all these people. You know, I remember one of the worst sounds you could hear when I was growing up was the sound of my father he had a different walk when he was angry and there was some correcting to be going on. The way he walked would actually change, and the wood floors in our house, you could hear him coming, and you knew by the way he was walking that something bad was about to happen. He didn't have the belt clearing belt loop, so to speak, because he didn't need it, but you knew what was about to happen. With Eli, all you hear on this occasion at least are words. And words sometimes are not enough to get it done. And the Bible talks about not sparing the rod. Now, we understand that Eli's sons are grown and most definitely out of the house, so to speak. But he was within every right to go and to straighten these men out. You know, how old he was and how physically able he was able to do it, we don't know. But, you know, he could have very much so, being who Eli was and the position he was, he had every right to send someone saying and tell them, pull those two guys out. You bring them here and we'll put in someone else in their place, or, you know, do something different. But, of course, that doesn't happen. And maybe perhaps that was, as we mentioned earlier, maybe that's the providence of God, a part of God's plan or whatever. But we find here that as you look at 1 Samuel, that these men, they did not remain. You know, they didn't get off scot-free, so to speak. They were going to pay the price for their sins. And Eli, you might say, paid the price in the sense that he had to hear everyone else talk about his children. And no doubt it caused him great pain.
For sure. Yeah, he had to hear about everything, man. And how devastating was that? And then to hear about his sons dying, it was such pain and agony that he fell back and maybe break his neck. He was dead. You know, I mean, what heartbreak. And he had to know where they're going. You know, yeah. I mean,
yeah,
that's even heartbreaking, more heartbreaking, you know, so, but it's good knowledge to know of, you know, I mean, the Bible is always there to teach and to guide and direct. And, you know, this is a good teaching opportunity for, you know, say a father and a son relationship of, you know, I would say Eli needed to be more strict, needed to be more, I don't know, a base somewhere. It's kind of like his base was all around. It was like, okay, I'll accept this now and maybe not accept it now. Or it was just kind of all over the place is what it seemed. So,
Well, I'm gonna stop us there today because we're out of time. But when we come back next time, we are going to look at what Eli says to his sons there in verses 23 and 24, and then how God responds. And then also maybe some things that we can do to help remind us about, you know, some reminders for us today as fathers and as parents in general. So we're going to stop there today. Do thank you for being here with us. We hope to see you again next time here on Uncensored Dads and the Uncensored Word. Thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bible Way Media by visiting us at BibleWayMedia.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we encourage you to please share this program, to like it on social media. Thank you for being with us today.